People are funny. They have all sorts of rules that they live by. There are those who will never buy anything on credit. They do not have credit cards. They do not owe anything to anyone. This is a rule that they live by. Others will never buy a brand new car. They only buy used car so that the first owner get hit with all the depreciation. This is a rule that they live by. Some others never borrow anything from anyone. Tools, clothes, car, any item whatsoever, it is a rule of their life. Then you have crazier rules like never mixing their food together. They eat the meat first, then the potatoes, then the veggies. They never mix things together. This is a rule they have. I think it's all going to the same place. Sooner or later, it's going to mix. Then you have those who won't eat between meals. You have those who won't eat before 10 a.m. You have those who will not eat after 8 p.m. You have those who won't talk before they have a cup of coffee. The more you talk with people, the more you discover the crazy rules that they have in their lives. This morning in our text, the Lord Jesus is going to talk about one rule that his people should live by. And it is called the golden rule. Today we are going to see that it is indeed a great rule to live by. So please turn to our text. We are still in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 12, as we continue where we stopped last time. In the Old Testament days, Jewish people had two sets of balances. They had one to sell to others, and they had one to buy for themselves. Both sets were in their favor. God said in Deuteronomy 25:15, "You shall have a perfect and just balance, a perfect and just measure, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." So obviously, God hates deceit and different sets of balances. We also have two sets of balances. We use one to measure the things that we do for others, and we use a different one to measure the things that others do for us. And both are set in our favor. Why are there disputes between families or between individuals? Why is there so much quarreling and unhappiness in this world? Why won't people speak to each other for years and won't even look at each other? Why is there jealousy and backbiting in this world? The answer is one word: selfishness. We do not do to others what we want them to do to us. Why not? Because we are only thinking of ourselves. And the tragic result of the fall of man was self-centeredness. Man thinks of nothing and no one but himself. He is concerned about nothing else but his own well-being. Why did God say that we should love our neighbor as ourselves? Why did he specifically say as ourselves and not as something else? Because we know how to love ourselves. In any labor dispute, what is usually the real cause of the trouble is one side says, "I am entitled to have more." The other side says, "If he has more, I will have less." So they both object, and there is a quarrel because each one is thinking only of himself. In our text this morning, this text is claimed to be the most well-known verse in the Bible. Not only the most well-known, it is also the most praised verse in the Bible. We can hardly find a person who does not agree with this verse 12 in principle. But very few people follow this verse in practice. Everybody agrees with it. They agree that it is the right way to live. But few do it. We must remember that the Lord did not intend for us to praise this verse, but to practice this verse. And the verse is, verse 12, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." We now start the third part of chapter 7. Two ways to go. And there are two applications. One applies to people, and the other applies to roads. There are two ways to go when it comes to people. There are two ways to treat people. There's a harsh, offensive way, a rude way. And there is a gentle, kind, gracious way to treat people. The way that we want them to treat us. And then there are two ways to take in life. There's a narrow, difficult gate, a lonely road, and there is the broad, easy gate, a crowded road. Today we will only take the first application about treating people. Next week we will see the two ways to take in life. Jesus says here that we should do to others whatever we want them to do to us. We cannot find this rule anywhere else than in Christianity. Notice that it starts with the word "therefore." Nobody starts a sentence, nobody starts a thought with the word "therefore." It is a conclusion kind of word. It always refers back to what was mentioned earlier. The word means because of this, because of what was said. Every time we see the word "therefore," we must find out why it is "therefore." The fact that this verse starts with "therefore," it forces us to go back to the context in order to understand. And as we go to the context, we get to verse 7 where the Lord said, "Ask, seek, knock." If we will do these things, our Father in heaven will give us good gifts, better than any evil father on earth. He knows how to give good gifts, and He will give us the Holy Spirit. We see in verse 11. So we might be able not to harm our neighbor, but we won't be able to do this greater thing without help, without power. We won't be able to do what we want others to do to us except we ask, we knock, we seek. And we receive from our Heavenly Father power from the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. Notice that Jesus said, "Whatever you want people to do to you." He did not say, "Whatever people do to you, do that also to them." Whether they do it or not do it is not the point. Jesus is saying here, to do to them what we want them to do to us. Not what they do to us. What we would like them, what we would love for them to do. How many times do Christianity say, "Oh yeah, many Christians say that. Yeah, but he did it first." It's childish. We should not be like this. not mature Christian should be saying things like this. The Lord is sort of forcing us to think here. What do you want them to do to you? Do you want them to be gracious to you? Do you want them to be patient with you? Do you want them to be merciful to you, to be understanding, to be loving and kind to you? So that's what we must do to them. One of the many successful men who have used the golden rule principle was James Cash Penny, the famous Mr. J.C. Penny. He started with a small general merchandise store in Kemmerer, Wyoming in 1902. And he built a multi-million dollar business empire on one simple principle, the golden rule here, verse 12. For years, the penny stores were called the golden rule stores. If you're old enough to remember, before J.C. Penney. It was Mr. Penny's faith in that principle, always treating a customer as he himself wanted to be treated, that made them grow and prosper. But perhaps even more important was Mr. Penny's attitude towards his employees. In the first place, he did not like the word employee, preferring to treat everyone as a partner or associate, as he called them. And he devoted himself to treating them as he wanted to be treated, if the situation were reversed. Most of all, he knew that by helping them make money, his own success would be assured. So putting in practice the golden rule made him prosper in this throat-cutting business world. So going further back in the context here, in chapter 7, it started with judge not or condemn not. Since we want people to forgive us and not to judge us, so we should forgive them and not judge them. As we want them to do to us, we should do to them. The first 12 verses of this chapter are all tied together. It is said that the Roman emperor, Severus, was so enchanted by this rule when he heard it for the first time, that he appointed a reader to repeat it aloud, every time someone came before him for judgment. And he also ordered it to be written in large letters in the most visited rooms of the palace and in many public buildings. Although he was an idolater, he was not a believer. The emperor honored Christ as the one who had told them how to live justly. Now, this idea was not really new. It had been expressed in a sense by several people prior to Jesus Christ, at least by six different men. Number one, Confucius, the Chinese teacher, said 500 years before Christ, what you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. And then Socrates, the Greek philosopher, wrote 400 years before Christ, what stirs your anger when done to you by others, that do not do to others. And then number three, Buddha. His name was Gautama Buddha, the founder of Buddhism, said 500 years before Christ, what you do not wish to be done to you, do not do to anyone. And then you have Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, 300 years before Christ. we should carry ourselves toward others as we desire they carry themselves towards us. And then number five, King Nicocles of Cyprus said 200 years before Christ, do not do to others the things which make you angry when you experience them at the hands of other people. And then lastly, the Rabbi Hillel, Hebrew religious leader, 100 years before Christ said, do not do to thy neighbor what is hateful to thyself. All these things were said before Jesus. And people say that these are all the same thing. Jesus is not coming up with anything new. But there is a vast difference between those sayings. All these sayings here are negative and passive. Christ's command is positive and active. These wise men said, avoid doing to others what you do not want done to you. Meaning, do not do anything. Do not do what you do not want them to do to you. But Jesus said, think of something you wish someone would do to you. Then do it to someone else. Do what you would want him to do to you. Huge difference. Taking the same saying here from a negative injunction and putting it in a positive declaration like Jesus did, change the whole thought. It says much more in the positive. We can spend the rest of our lives in a negative state, not doing any bad things to others, and yet never do any positive good to anybody. The negative form means refraining from certain actions. It is easy or easier not to do things than it is to do things. Not to hurt any people is not really a spiritual principle. It is a legal principle. According to the law of the land, we are not to hurt people. That's the law. That's why we do not hurt them. We are not just to refrain from harming people. We are to do good to them. We are to be kind to them. We are not only to refrain from mugging them or stealing from them. We are to give to them. We are to share with them. So we are not just to resist murdering them. We are to love them and we have to give to them. And it is harder to do than just not murdering them. The attitude that says, I must do no harm to people is very different from the attitude that says, I must do my best to help people day and night. It is perfectly possible for any unbeliever to observe the negative form of this rule and not to do any harm to anyone. But only the man or the woman who has the love of Jesus Christ in his or her heart and the power of the Holy Spirit in his or her life can fulfill the positive form of the golden rule and do good to others. He will forgive as he would like to be forgiven. He will help as he would like to be helped. He will try to understand as he would like to be understood. It is not enough not to be bad. The Lord wants us to be good and to do positive things for others. He said in Isaiah 1, 16 and 17, cease from evil. Learn to do good. It's not enough to just stop. Go further. Learn to do good. In Amos chapter 5, he said to seek good and not evil, to hate evil and to love good. The Lord wants us to be more than just negative. He wants us to be positive and live positive lives. A young man left his employer, a lumber merchant, and he started his own business in competition with his old boss. For a while, he prospered greatly and got many orders that would have gone to the firm he had left. But just when the business seemed to be most flourishing and he had more orders than he could supply, a huge fire in his yard destroyed all the lumber. The day after the fire, he saw his old employer coming towards his office. And he said later, "I hated him. I thought he was coming to gloat over my misfortune, but he came to me as a friend in need." And here's what he said to him: "I know you have agreed to supply lumber to your customers by certain dates, and this unfortunate fire makes it impossible for you to do it. My lumber yard is at your disposal. You can have what you need and pay me at your own convenience, that your business may go on as usual." The young man was overwhelmed by this example of the golden rule. The rivalry, the hatred that he had felt gave place to love. This is how we are to live as the children of God. How do we want others to treat us when we have made a mistake? We all make mistakes. How do we want them to treat us? Oh, I want them to be patient with me, not to find fault with me, not to judge me, not to condemn me, but not even to hold grudges against me. So that's how we should treat others when we have made a mistake. And when they have made a mistake, it should be a mutual thing. How do we want people to treat us when we're having a bad day? We're having a hard time being in a good mood. Oh, I want them to understand. I want them to give me room. Leave me alone for a while. Give me time to get back with it. Just pray for me. So that's what we should do to others when they are having a bad day, when they are having a hard time getting in a good mood. Not push them. We don't like to be pushed. We want understanding. We should give them understanding. How do we want people to treat us when we have a serious need in our life? Oh, I want them to be sensitive to my need. I want them to respond to my need and be there for me and help me as much as they can. So then we should be sensitive and respond to their needs and be there for them and help them as much as we can. Whatever we want others to do to us, that we should do to others. What kind of things do we want people to say about us? Oh, I want them to say nice things about me. Good things, not evil things. I don't want them to talk about me in my back. That's what we should say about others. Nice things, good things, and never talk about them in their back. How do we want people to act towards us? I want them to be friendly. I want them to be nice to me, to be loving and kind. Then we should be friendly, loving, and kind with others as we would like them to be with us. We know exactly how we would like others to treat us and what they should do to us. We know. So this is how we should treat them. This is what we should do to them. The traffic tickets issued by Rockville, city of Rockville, Maryland. They used to have these words on them when you would get a ticket: drive towards others as you would have them drive towards you. They handed the drivers these tickets and they wanted them to think about the golden rule. I don't know if they still do it, but that's a great thing to do for those people. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. What does the law and the prophet mean? The law and the prophet is the Old Testament. Jesus said, for this is the law and the prophet. This what? This positive act of doing to others what we would like them to do to us. This is the Old Testament. The law deals with only two relationships. Our relationship with God and our relationship with people. The first tablet of the law has to do with our relationship with God. The first four commandments, the vertical relationship. The second tables of the law has to do with our relationship with people. The last six commandments, the horizontal relationship. And it must be kept in that order. It is very important for our vertical alignment to be straight. Our relationship with God. God did not start the commandment by honor your parents and do not murder. That was on the second tablet of stone. It must start with the vertical because the horizontal alignment, our relationship with people, rests on the vertical alignment. Our relationship with God should be the primary importance of our life. This is the most important relationship. That's why it is first. If the vertical alignment of our life, our relationship with God, is not right, it is not straight, then our horizontal alignment, our relationship with people, will always need to be corrected. It will never be right. No matter what the other relationships are, relationship with a spouse, with a child, with the in-laws, the outlaws, the boyfriend, the girlfriend, the employer, none of these relationships will ever be right if our relationship with God is not right. Our entire life will be off balance. We can try all sorts of things to make these relationships right. They will always be on balance. Why? Because our vertical alignment, our relationship with God, is out of balance. It is not right. So rather than try to correct the horizontal alignment, our relationship with people, the common mistake that people make, we need to correct the vertical alignment, our relationship with God. How often I have seen Christians call the church office because they were in trouble. Their marriage was on the line. They were about to lose everything. They needed counseling right away. They believed that counseling was going to solve their problems. I usually have bad news for them because 3 or 4 or 10 counseling sessions will not simply take care of the problem. It will help them. It will guide them. But only a right relationship with God will solve their problem permanently. Counseling is not some crazy glue that fixes all problems. Only a right relationship with God, a strong vertical alignment, can strengthen all relationships with people. We cannot have a right relationship with God and have wrong relationship with people. If our relationship with God is what it should be, then all other relationships with people will be what they should be. That's why in the Old Testament, the law starts with our relationship with God. The first four commandments, the most important relationship in our life. If we get this one right, then all others will be right. Now, verse 12 here covers our relationship with people. We don't have to go through all six commandments one by one. If we are doing to them what we want them to do to us, we will fulfill them all. Just listen to Romans 13, verses 8 and 10. He who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. So in this, you have the law and the prophet. Now do not say, oh yes, I agree. That's the way people ought to live. The Bible says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. There is something within us that wants to do to others what they have done to us. It will be a temptation all of your life. Some people, they want to do it with interest to others. But this is not what the Lord wants his followers to do. If we say, yes, this is right, then we need to take another step and ask God to help us to be like he wants us to be. We need to ask diligently. We need to seek fervently. We need to keep on knocking, and God will give us the Holy Spirit to help us do to others what we want them to do to us. The Bible asks a tough question. How can you say you love God and yet hate your brother? If we claim to love God and do not love our brother, the Bible says we are lying. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophet. This is what we are called to do. We are to practice this, and as we do, we will be showing the world the only way in which problems can be solved. The golden rule, the royal rule, is based on God's willingness to give. Since we have full confidence that God will give us everything that is good, including the Holy Spirit, we are to imitate him in our conduct towards those around us. It's not always easy. Coming back to JCPenney, his first venture was a butcher shop in Longmont, Colorado. And it opened in 1889. And it failed almost immediately after he refused to bribe an important local hotel chef with a weekly bottle of bourbon. I lost everything I had, Penny said, but I learned never to compromise. Penny's unwavering faith in this golden rule stirred skepticism in a greedy, covetous world, but his belief inspired his success. At his death in 1971, at 95 years old, he left 1,700 stores that he had built without compromising the principle that he had received from three generations of Baptist preacher ancestors. With annual sales of over $4 billion, JCPenney today ranks as the nation number 5 in the merchandising company. His personal worth when he died 45 years ago was $24 million. He neither smoked nor drank, and he required the same self-discipline conduct from his employee. I believe in adherence to the golden rule, faith in God and country, he often said. And I would rather be known as a Christian than a merchant. As a boy, JCPenney began his first business by raising pigs on his father's farm. And the neighbors at first offered him scraps from their kitchen for his pigs. And when he sold the first pig and he made a profit, he bought more pigs and he made more profit. But his father, the pastor of a small Baptist church, was soon to teach him the golden rule that was to guide him for the rest of his life. The neighbors began to complain about the smell and the noise coming from Jim's pig pen. His dad ordered him to sell all the pigs. He was stunned. He reasoned with his dad that all pig pens do smell. All pig pens are noisy. And besides, he said, the neighbors have no business telling us what to do. His dad listened and then said, "You have no right to make money if by so doing you are taking advantage of other people." Jim sold the pigs, much to his regret. But his godly father taught him a lesson that day, one of the most important lessons he had ever learned. Parents, teach your children the golden rule. The royal rule is simple but very important. It can provide the solution to many problems, preserve all rights, reconcile all differences, silence all discords, and even prevent wars. So let's initiate this rule in our life. It is from the King of Kings. People may have good rules to live by. Yes, it is good not to owe anything to anyone. It is good not to eat between meals. It is good not to eat after 8 p.m. But these rules will never affect the lives of others the way that this golden rule will. When we start living this way, when we start treating others this way, people are going to see Christ in us. This is how we can influence them to follow Jesus Christ. This is indeed a great rule to live by. There will never be a day when you will have this entire world to yourself. Never. Not one of us will have this world to ourselves. There will always be people with you, around you, everywhere. So we need to learn how to live with them in a way that is pleasing to our Father, in a way that is pleasant for us to live with each other. And there's only one way to live, one way to treat people that is acceptable to God, and that is in His Word. This is the golden rule. This is His rule. This is how He expects His people to live. This is what He expects from us. This is how we should treat one another. Because we know exactly the right way. We know what we would like done to us. In any situation, we know the answer. We know what we would expect from that person or that person. This is what he should do to us. We know the answer. We only need now to apply it in the lives of others. So may the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. May He bless your week. Bless your day off tomorrow, your work starting Tuesday. May He bless your home and may He change your heart today. May He place that golden rule within your heart for you to live all the days of your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.